join a welcome diversion today, and my guest is Carla Visconi. Carla is from Australia, but runs programs in both Australia and New Zealand, and probably Tasmania. We can talk about that as we go along. And from our perspective, we're really pleased that she's here. Australia and New Zealand offer some of the similar challenges we have, but there'll be differences in those programs as well. Welcome, Carla.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, so now we've got you set up there. Tell me a little bit about the program in Australia. What is it that the regulations tell you have to do? How are things set up for you? What does that just kind of general structure look like?
Sure, so it's the National Television and Computer Recycling Scheme. So it's federally run, so across the country. So not we don't have different schemes in the states and territories. It's one scheme, which is good because I understand it's very different here.
Yeah, it's better for sure.
yeah, definitely. And so it's focused on televisions, computers, printers and peripherals. And so OEMs or producers who import those products into the country have to sign up to one of five co-regulatory arrangements, and ANZRP, the organisation I work for, is one of those co-regs or co-regulatory arrangements. And then what we have to do is collect and recycle an equivalent of the liable parties that have joined us. We have to recycle their combined liability. Mm-hmm. And we have recycling targets, which are set by the scheme. And at the moment, it's 72% of our total membership's liability. So that's our recycling target. And then we have to achieve what's called reasonable access. So every town with a population of 2,000 people or more, we have to provide a free collection service for them and then make sure that it gets taken back to a recycler that is certified to the Australian e-waste standard there.
Okay. And when you talk about the fact that you've got a 2,000 population as the minimum standard, that seems like a bit of a challenge in terms of the number of locations you'd have to have. Do you have a sense of how many total locations you need across Australia?
I think it's around about 150 that you need to service it, but we have a network of 285 of our permanent collection sites or reoccurring events, but then we also pick up from business customers and member customers as well. So our network is far more reaching than those permanent collection sites that we have to have.
Of course. And New Zealand is a separate country with two islands. So how does that fit into the scheme?
It doesn't fit into the scheme whatsoever. So okay. New Zealand has no regulatory requirements for e-waste product stewardship or recycling. But I'm involved in a pilot program. So some of ANZRP's member companies wanted to set up something in New Zealand. So there was about six or seven members who helped us form what's called Tech Collect New Zealand. And so we're running a pilot program for ICT e-waste over there.
Okay.
And then at the same time, we're working with what's called the Ministry for Environment over there to design a regulated product stewardship scheme, and that's likely to get up in about 2 years' time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So building to that regulation when things will be obligated. And Tasmania, tell me about that. How does that fit into the scheme here?
So Tasmania is part of the scheme. It is part of the country of Australia, even though it is a small island down the bottom. So like I said, the reasonable access requirement, so we have to provide services over there. Mm-hmm. We do not use a local recycler in Tasmania. It's small. They don't have recyclers that can meet the standards that we adhere to. The collected e-waste then gets ferried over to Melbourne for recycling there.
So now you've got barges and ships, you've got ferries, you've got rail, you've got trucks.
Yeah.
So you've just about covered the gamut of transportation networks to be able to get things to a recycler.
Yes, correct. No planes yet.
Not yet. No. And your program is, from my recollection, certainly the most reputable in Australia, largest, and really does a great job of recycling electronics there. What challenges do you see in terms of the way things are unfolding in Australia?
Many challenges. I would say one of the biggest challenges is getting the regulator, so the federal regulator, actually enforce the rules so that it's an even playing field across the five co-regulatory arrangements. Mm-hmm. So we're very focused on compliance and providing a really high quality service. And so that means we are the most expensive of the co-regulatory arrangements.
Sure.
So liable parties can just be motivated on price and choose a cheaper co-regulatory arrangement. And because the regulator's not always enforcing the rules, that means that they're not doing the same level of compliance that we are. So that's a constant challenge. Another issue is, although our program is run federally, environment protection and health and safety regulations are managed by the states.
Okay.
And so if we say to our federal regulator that there's a problem with this recycler over here and, you know, they're not complying with health and safety legislation, they'll be like, oh, that's a shame. You need to speak to the state about that. And so it's a lot of handing over. And so that's definitely a key problem as well. I'd also say in terms of consumer perception, there's maybe a bit of confusion. There's, so we're, because we're five co-regulatory arrangements, there's different messaging, inconsistent messaging, so may not necessarily know how best to recycle their e-waste. And then there's so many recycling programs for all your different consumer household waste. So it's just generally confusing.
Now you have a number of different climate environments there. So much like we do here in Canada, where we've got the far north with tundra and no trees and permafrost and things like that, and a ribbon across the U.S. border, which is largely where the fertile ground is, and we're allowed to be able to grow crops and have some kind of vegetation that's more robust. What kind of climate environments do you have in Australia?
So no tundra, no ice, very little snow, okay. But we do have different challenges. So we have a lot of desert area in central Australia, and then up north in the northern states, we have wet and dry seasons. So you get obviously flooded environments during the wet season, and then it can get really hot and dry in the dry season. And then as you get further south, it's, you know, your more temperate climate. So yeah.
And what do those climates mean in terms of recycling? How does that challenge you with respect to what you need to do to collect material?
Probably the main challenges is around logistics. So when I was talking about up north, when it's flooded, we obviously can't use the roads or the rail networks then. So you either just have to leave it there and wait for it to clear and for it to be the dry season, mm-hmm. or you sometimes have to use barges or ships to move it that way as well.
And how long would that season last? In a worst case scenario, how long could you be shut out from roads and rails?
5 months or so would be,
So almost half the year.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that we find, at least with smaller geographies, is that there's a real challenge when you start to introduce a competitive environment. So as Australia inaugurated this, you talk about the five competitors that exist in the province. Do you think that adds cost to recycling in general across the province, across the state?
It depends. It depends if you're using a good recycler or a not so good recycler. Mm-hmm. And so we only use the best recyclers. And so we definitely invest heavily in our compliance and due diligence program. So for us, it is a cost. And because there are other recyclers in the industry not doing what's required, there's mm-hmm. a risk that, you know, the recyclers that we use might lower their level. So I think from a compliance perspective, there definitely is more cost. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And do the competitors, do you have to set up equivalent networks, or do you share the collection network across the country of Australia?
You can share sites. So one of the other co-regs, we actually do share some sites. Mm-hmm. Some of those more trickier remote locations or out-of-regional locations we do. But predominantly, you do have to set up your own site in mm-hmm. each area. So it's a bit silly and inefficient to have five services in a remote town of 2,000 people. So that's a flaw in the legislation that we think needs to change.
Yeah. And yet, on the other hand, what it does drive is a level playing field with respect to the collection network.
Yes.
So it's kind of a, you win on one hand and lose on the other as a result of those kinds of environments. So,
yeah.
And when you think about recycling there, now you take the material, you have recyclers who have shredders, I assume?
Some do, yes.
Yeah. And so when you get to a point where you've taken that material and it's now back to a product that can be reused, where does that go? Because I would think that somewhere like Australia, similar to Canada, has some challenges with respect to the downstreams and where remanufacturing takes place. Is that a challenge for Australia as well?
Yes, it definitely is. So metals are generally sold on the world commodity market, so that's generally okay. So printed circuit boards, we don't have a very big recycling capacity, so that gets exported to Japan or Singapore predominantly. And then the biggest issue is plastics. So we used to export it to different Asian markets for recycling, but in FY22, the government banned the exports of plastics, waste plastics, and that was, they're actually targeting the curbside recycling industry, so sure. Packaging, but an unintended consequence was e-plastics got, were also used to be exporters, and then all of a sudden they weren't allowed to anymore.
Sure.
And our recycling industry didn't keep up or foresee it and come up with solutions. So that's been a real problem. And unfortunately, e-plastics have gone to landfill as a result.
Mm-hmm. And is it meaning that the result can be there's a resurgence of the plastic recycling economy? So are you starting to see some of that happen? Because we've certainly seen that here in North America, because as you referenced, Asia used to be the markets where a lot of plastics went. A number of years ago, China stopped with the Green Sword any import of plastics. After that, a number of Asian countries took the same approach. Mm-hmm. And certainly from a North American perspective, we've seen a resurgence both here in Canada and in the United States where there has been industry form and people starting to do a number of different technologies. There's one of our processors that does manual sort on plastics to try and high grade what's there. There's another who's set up a float sink technology so that they can use salinated water to determine different levels and put them through different tanks so that the plastics separate themselves, and they can then high grade those plastics, determine which ones are better for premium uses of recycling and being put back into products, and which have a lesser value in terms of the way they can go. Is that starting to happen in Australia?
Yes, definitely. So one of our e-waste recycling partners has that technology themselves. So they invested, so they saw that the ban was coming in place, and they thought, well, let's invest and get on top of this, which is fantastic. So,
yes.
And luckily they're our largest recycling partner, so we do have an outlet for the plastics for them. And then there's also been other investments. So the federal government has set up, I think it's called the Recycling Modernisation Fund, and so people have been putting applications for plastics recycling equipment as well. And ANZRP subsidiary We Collect has also received grant funding for a plastics extrusion project as well. So, yeah, we'll be in that game soon too.
So how do you feel Australia is doing with respect to recycling at large? Is there, beyond electronics, are there big messages about recycling? Or is it more like, I'll say, the United States, where in many cases only half of the states have electronic recycling programs, the other half haven't even bothered at this juncture. So do you have any of those kinds of challenges in terms of awareness?
We definitely have awareness challenges in the e-waste recycling game. I think because there's five of us doing the same thing, we have different ways of messaging, and we're each promoting our own collection networks, which are different. So that must be confusing to the consumer. Mm-hmm. And not all the co-regs really promote it, that their services that well either. Mm-hmm. And then there are many other recycling programs for consumers' household waste as well. So you've got your curbside recycling, you've got tyres, you've got mattresses. There's so many different things, and they have to take them to a different spot. So it's definitely confusing, and sometimes the consumer's like, well, it's all too hard, I'm just not going to do it.
I understand.
Yeah.
Now, as you think about the future, what do you see coming in Australia as just you cast your eyes forward and say, I'm sitting here with me again in 5 years' time. What are you going to tell me has happened? What's changed?
Well, the government has announced that it wants to expand the scheme from the 1st of July 2025 to small household equipment and PV panels. So it'll be a larger, broader scoped program. And I guess then after the whether or not that's successful, they will then expand the product scope even further. I think they'd like to get it to what's happening in Europe, so it's a full WEEE program.
No, that's terrific. Well, Carla, I really appreciated the time and the fact that you've traveled all the way from Australia to come here to Canada. I'm hoping that we'll be able to show you some of what we do here, whether it's our collection network or our recycling depots and processors, and give you a chance to understand a little bit of what goes on here in Canada. We do appreciate you coming today to work with us on A Welcome Diversion.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Carla.
Welcome Diversion is brought to you by EPRA Recycle My Electronics. To find the location nearest you, visit recyclemyelectronics.ca. The future is in your hands. Don't let it go to waste.